Well, good morning. It's a privilege to stand here before you to study and to teach God's Word in both formal and informal ways will always be a great privilege and joy. In our study today, my hope is that we learn how God works in a person that lets Him work through him in every circumstance, and that we learn more about Jesus Christ. Many commentators say that no one in Scripture typifies the Lord Jesus like the man we will look at this morning. If you'd like to take your handout that's in the bulletin, you can fill in those blanks right now. I would like to go over that. This man that we will look at was loved by his Father, and so wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. This man was rejected by his own, and so wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. This man was tempted by Satan, and so wasn't Christ. This man that we will look at this morning also suffered unjustly, and so did Christ. And then lastly, this man was exalted, and so will be the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. It's probably a man that a lot of us know about. We will look together at some of the life of Joseph. This is in no way an exhaustive look at his life, but I would commend an in-depth study of his life on your own. He is a great example of one who feared God and desired to live godly before the ungodly. Our study begins in chapter 37 with Joseph being 17 years old. His mother has died. While he was in his teen years, he was one of 13. His father had four wives. Leah was one wife. She had six boys and a girl. And there was Rachel. She had two boys, including Joseph. Bilhah, two boys. And Zilpah, two boys. It was a family full of deceit and deception and much turmoil in this family. Okay, I would like to read Genesis 37, verses 1 through 4. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. The end of verse 2 says, Joseph brought a bad report of his brothers to their father. Joseph gave an account of their ill conduct, that he might restrain them, not as a talebearer or to sow discord, but as a faithful brother. Then in verse 3, Israel loved Joseph. He was loved by his father, as was Christ. And there's a few verses I'd like to read. You don't need to turn to them, about the father's love for Christ or Jesus. John 3:35, the father loves the son and has given all things into his hand. John 5:20, for the Father loves the Son. And then Matthew 3:17, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So God, there's many scripture verses telling us about God's love for his Son. And that was the case with Joseph. And then in verse 4, the brothers could not speak peaceably to him. The brothers would not even wish him well in the Eastern mode of salutation of peace be with thee. It is not an unusual thing for an Arab or a Turk to hesitate to return salam if given by a Christian or by one of whom he has not a favorable opinion. And this may always be considered an act of hostility. Joseph's brothers did not share in the father's love for him. They hated him. The brothers rejected Joseph, and that's the same with Christ. Christ came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, John 1:11. Isaiah 53:3, he was despised and rejected by men. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And then John 5:18, if the world hates you, you know it has hated me before it hated you. And then in verse 5, we won't read about Joseph's dreams, but Joseph told his brothers the truth in his two dreams. He kept nothing back. He told them the truth, and they hated him the more. And then if you want to skip down to verse 18, they conspired against him to kill him. Let's read 18 through 20. They saw him from afar, and before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what became of his dreams." And then if you could skip down to verse 24. And they took him. And I'll read 24 through 28. And they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then the Midianite traders passed by. They drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. Amos 6:6 bears a little light on that phrase in verse 25, they sat down to eat. And I'll just read what Amos has to say. Amos was pronouncing judgment on Israel. Amos 6:6, who drank wine in bowls and anointed themselves with finest oil, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. So Israel had the same no regard for God, just like the brothers had no regard for Joseph. They threw him in the pit, and they sat down to eat. Let me read a few verses in the Gospels about Christ. Matthew 27:1. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. Mark 14:1. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. John 11:53. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. One more in Matthew 27:9. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel." After the sale of Joseph, we see the deception of his brothers to their father, which we won't go through at this time, in verses 29 through 36. Okay, if you could turn over two chapters to chapter 39. Here we see Joseph is now in Egypt. Genesis chapter 39. And I would like to read verses 1 through 6. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in the sight and attended him and made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him an overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Can I highlight a few phrases here? Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him. And then the end of verse 5, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. You know, what do we learn about God from these phrases? Okay, look at verse 7. After a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." What do we do when temptation comes? Well, Scripture tells us what we should do when temptations come before us. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. That word flee in the Greek means seek safety by flight. Seek safety by flight. Get out of there. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. 2 Timothy 2:22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So this tells us what to flee from, and that we should pursue or chase after righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And Romans 13:12, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Cast off, throw as far as you can. Cast off the works of darkness. And then one more in Ephesians 5:11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. This was something that Joseph did. He with his brothers. He had no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead he exposed them. And I think a lot of us know about Christ being tempted in Matthew 4:1-10. Satan tempted him with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All three of Jesus' replies to the devil were taken from Scripture or from the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, back to our text, Genesis 39 and verse 8. But Joseph refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men in the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. I'd like to highlight the phrase in verse 9, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph walked with God. He knew that sin not only involved himself and others, but more importantly, he would be sinning against God. Joseph didn't want to hurt his relationship with God. So we see later on in this chapter that Joseph is falsely accused, and he's put into prison. Let's look at verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. I have another question. How do we respond when suffering or testing comes into our lives? Scripture tells us that it is God's will that we suffer. It tells us if we live godly, it will happen. 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Then 2 Timothy 12:13, indeed all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And then 1 Peter 4:13 through 19, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Christ suffered for us. Isaiah 53 records for us the sufferings of Christ. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. He was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. Back to our text, chapter 39 and verse 21. While Joseph's in prison, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. God gives grace when we trust him in our sufferings and testings. We will have testings and sufferings. Chapter 40 tells us of the events in prison and the impact Joseph has on the men. So let's begin. Let's go over now to chapter 41. And the beginning of the chapter tells us about two dreams that Pharaoh has and his troubling spirit, and how Pharaoh is informed of a Hebrew prisoner that accurately interpreted two dreams 2 years earlier. So Joseph is in 2 years waiting in prison. Such are God's ways. There sits Joseph bound in prison, charged with an abominable crime he did not commit, and yet see him almost in a moment raised to the second highest position in Egypt. And who can deny that God is in it all? That's how it is with us as believers, if we trust God with our sufferings and testings. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. God will exalt us at the proper time. Let's look at verse 14 of chapter 41. 14 through 16. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. No doubt in Joseph's mind, who's in control, look at verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. And then over to verse 28. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. And then look at verse 32. And for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Joseph knows that God is in control. And I found a verse in Isaiah that goes along with God is in control. Isaiah 14:24, and the Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. This is the purpose that is purpose concerning the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? Joseph realized that God was in control. And hopefully each one of us realize that too as we go through sufferings and trials and just going through life in general. As I looked over these 5 points that are before us on our paper, on our notes, we can apply these to us too. You know, we are loved by our Father. If you're one of His, if you're a believer, you're loved by our Father. We can be rejected by our family, our own, our friends. And certainly we are tempted. Each one of us are tempted by the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and by Satan himself. And a lot of us will suffer or have suffered unjustly. And then the fifth one, exalted. We will be exalted someday when we're with Christ. So Joseph, with God's enabling, interprets Pharaoh's dreams. Let's look at chapter 41 and verse 37. Verse 37, and I'll read through verse 43. The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, "Bow the knee." Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Here is exaltation. Contrast this with the pit and the dungeon. Joseph was taken from the pit and the dungeon into which he had been brought by the envy of his brothers and the false judgment of the Gentile, to be ruler over all the land of Egypt and to be sustainer of life to Israel and the whole earth. This is all typical of Christ. He was laid in a place of death by the hand of man and then raised by the hand of God and set in dignity and glory. Acts 2:22-24. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Someday we as believers will be exalted by reigning with Christ, and Christ will be exalted. Ephesians 2:9-10. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at every name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Someday every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether they know him as their personal Savior or if they don't. So if you could turn with me now to Revelation chapter 19. We'll end with this passage in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 19. And I'd like to read 11 through 16. This is the second coming of Christ, when he'll come back to earth victorious. Revelation 19:11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and one sitting on it called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'd like to highlight a phrase there in verse 14, and the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. These are the believers, those believers that are saved in the tribulation, Old Testament saints. And we notice that they're unarmed. The believers won't need to be armed because we'll be following the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll be reigning with him after he defeats the enemy. And it is my prayer that each one of us here this morning will be there reigning with Christ. And if you haven't ever accepted Christ as your Savior, you know, today is the day when you could do it. Lord, we thank you for this example of Joseph in your word, and we thank you for his character and Even at a young age, at the age of 17 and maybe even younger, he had a desire to follow you. And then even at a young age, when he was 30, he was ruler over all of Egypt. And we just thank you for this example. And we thank you that it reminds us of Christ and what you did for us, how you suffered and were tempted, how you're loved by the Father, and someday you'll be exalted. And it is my prayer that each one of us here will be there with you. And we just thank you for your word, and we just pray that it would have free course in our lives. Again, we thank you for this time that we've had in your word. Thank you for Harvest Bible, and we thank you for the man that you've raised up to lead this assembly, and we just pray that you would strengthen him as we look towards the future. Again, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.